My name's Jesse. I'm the host of the Warframe podcast called The Railjack Ruffians. I just wanted to give you a little disclaimer before we got into the episode proper. This is the first episode that we ever recorded, so obviously it's not going to be quite up to the standards of the rest of the episodes. We also had to split the recording of this episode across two sessions for reasons that we'll get into later. I wanted to have a small stockpile of episodes ready to go before I started releasing them, just in case schedules prohibited the podcast from being recorded on time. But since TennoCon happened, I want to be more up to date with the release schedule so the information isn't so out of date. One more thing that I'd like to mention is the amazing intro and outro music for this podcast. It was made for us by Peter Lamiel, an awesome musician on Fiverr. If you ever have any need for cover songs or any music work, I'd highly recommend working with him. He's punctual and actually cares about the quality of his work, which is not always the case with sellers on Fiverr. So definitely go check him out. But enough of my yammering, let's get you into episode zero, the introduction to our podcast. Welcome to the Railjack Ruffians podcast. Please like, subscribe, and do all that good stuff. And remember, Tenno, a breath a day keeps the Vay heck away. Yarg or whatever. Behold, episode one. This isn't episode one.
This is episode zero.
Episode zero of the Railjack Ruffians podcast. I am your host, Jesse. I have two other lovely co-hosts and one terrible. I'm not going to say who's who, but I'm pointing fingers at everyone.
What?
Just to be confusing, you know, one of you is going to be terrible.
And see, then here in just a second, it's going to be a surprise because she's going to come step over here and she's secretly been playing Warframe for like ages.
Yeah,
she's... And then she's going to be like the secret co-host.
Yeah, she's the executive director.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, on my far right, we have my longtime friend, juggling partner, and game dev extraordinaire, Mitchell!
Hey.
Say hi.
Hi! I'm happy that last part was in there.
Online, just add learning game dev.
Learning game dev.
No.
Learning coding and stuff.
Yeah, I was doing that today. And yeah. Most of today.
Oh, I thought you meant learning for me. I was like, no.
Well, I'm learning for myself, but I'm going to help you out.
Well, speaking of you, the man who's committed so many crimes he can't use his real name on the internet anymore, it's Stardust!
You forgot the 0083.
It doesn't matter.
Nah,
it matters.
Are we going to be saying
okay, 0083.
0083.
For the introduction, hello. It matters. Because there are many places that mark out Stardust. You can't use it because they say, oh, it's like a nickname for a drug.
That's because it is.
Yeah.
That's not what you're referencing.
No, I'm not referencing.
You're referencing.
I'm referencing like Star Wars. And
that's why you're
and
a criminal.
Yes. And my last co-host... the homeless guy I found on the street who was holding up a sign that will say, I'll come on your podcast if you give me free Taco Bell. It's Jacob!
Hey!
Hello!
It only cost a taco and a burrito. Why don't you get me that?
You didn't have a sign, and you weren't on the side of the road.
I can make a sign.
You made
and I can stand right outside that
you
door.
You have money.
Yeah, you're a game
you
developer. That means you're rich. Railjack Ruffians podcast. So basically...
Working title.
Working title... Maybe permanent, we'll see. But I used to listen to a podcast called Cephalon Squared with Greg and Lucas. And it was a lot of fun, but they stopped airing episodes. Their last one was on the Duveri Paradox. And before that, they had like a year or two gap. And it's just, there's a real lack of Warframe podcast out there. And I was at work listening to those podcasts, and I saw... I watched the last episode and I was like, ah, I want more of this, but there isn't more. So I guess I'll make some. And that was, what, half a year ago? Something like that?
You're old.
Needed some prep time.
You know? Yeah, it needed a lot of prep time, which you will not be able to tell by actually watching the podcast.
Yes, because you won't see anything.
I'm glaring.
We need a narrator.
Okay. So that's basically how the podcast came to be. And also, I want to hold this over the head of all male friend groups, because every male friend group says, oh, we need to start a podcast. Oh, man, it'd be awesome if we did a podcast. And then they never do, but we're actually doing it, and I just want to say we're awesome.
Maybe even two.
We're better than you.
Maybe four.
We're better than you.
Probably not four.
Three.
Maybe three.
Maybe
three.
Make one.
Yeah.
Three.
Yeah,
well, we got to do it.
Yeah. Okay.
Maybe pirate theme. We can say yar and ar and yar, o and ho.
What about yar g with a g on the end?
Yar. It's a possibility. You can say yar g.
That... Okay, as long as there's
Wait, what
a
if
gap.
You say it backwards?
Gar. I added the G on the end because it was very awkward.
Star Wars is Swarat.
Moving on.
Swarats.
Do I need to, like, bleep that out? Is that some Star Wars curse word that
no,
I don't know?
No, you just...
You just now put that out. Can you rest up at the store?
It's backwards.
That's what he said.
I didn't know that he was saying it backwards. I thought he was saying some kind of weird language.
Oh.
No, you read it backwards.
Explain better for the dummy in the room.
America, explain.
Pay attention.
I was looking right at him. I tried.
I understood.
Read my lips.
You're weird.
You can't read lips on a podcast. Obviously, none of us can see anything. I was glaring at nothing earlier because no one can see each other.
It's so dark.
It's so cold.
So whenever we enter the podcast, we have to enter the podcast dimension where everything is dark and non-existent except for sound.
It's a sub-pocket of the void, obviously.
Yes.
Okay.
You should have a digit. Here from our little sub-pocket in the void, we're coming to you live.
Speaking of that... I lost it. Hold on.
Is it wrong to hold this like a cell phone?
Yes.
Jacob, it's under your butt.
What was it?
Whatever it is, it's under your butt.
What was it?
Stand up and look. I know you can't stand up because we don't have physical forms in this podcast.
He said, I've lost it. I said, it's under your butt. He said, hold on. What was it? It's like, if you lost it, you know you lost it. You know what you lost.
Well, if you remember it, write it down. And that way when there's...
Just shout it out randomly if you think of it. Just interrupt everyone.
Have you ever had that happen where like you can't remember something, you go home and you're like...
You should just call Jesse in the middle of the night. I remember! It's like, what? Oh, I forgot.
Yeah.
Well, what are you going to post this on?
That's a good question. I'm thinking Spotify, Apple Podcasts,
YouTube maybe.
Amazon Music. That's my
thought. Podbean's a thing for podcasts. I don't know what it is.
Oh, yeah, I've heard of Podbean. I don't know. I have.
I listen to podcasts, really.
We should become SoundCloud.
Well, you better listen to this one, buddy, because it's the best podcast that has ever been recorded in this room.
Jesse, I think that by the end of the time you post it, you're probably going to have 4 views.
Probably. But
you're
number
probably
of
gonna
views.
Have more than that, just because like each number. Of us has probably told people, like, oh yeah, I got to go do a podcast tomorrow.
But this is why I told you that like when I need some someone to
have
podcasts,
more.
We go on Patreon because of this, because we just go off topic.
Yeah, but I think number of views is not necessarily indicative of quality, because this is going to get trillions of views and it's still terrible.
You're not wrong.
We're gonna pass Mr. Beast in subscribers, and we're just gonna have a single mic in our den.
Is he the top on Spotify right now? Joe Rogan is top on Spotify.
Almost certainly.
Because Brett Cooper and them over at Daily Wire started a podcast, and they're like right behind Joe Rogan.
We haven't even talked about the game yet.
I think we mentioned.
Where's the real Jack from? Jesse?
I don't know what game. What game could we possibly be covering in this?
Sea of Thieves.
Halo!
I love Sea of Thieves.
Yeah, that's where Real Jack Ruffians came from.
Yeah, because it's like ship-to-ship combat.
Yeah. It's like a whole thing. That's why we're doing it, right?
So Captain Flameheart came back and sent everyone's ship into space, and now they're in space firing the cannons with no atmosphere because Captain Flameheart.
That's impressive.
Yeah.
This whole time I thought we were talking about Banjo-Kazooie.
My favorite game that I've never played.
Yeah.
I haven't either.
I should probably play that at some point.
You should. It's fun. It's a nice little game.
Play ukulele?
Yeah, I played.
How is it?
It's okay.
Compared to Banjo-Kazooie.
Banjo-Kazooie is 20 million times better, but it is a nice little game.
But yes, this is a Warframe podcast. I've been playing Warframe for a long time.
Long time.
Probably about 2 years.
Well, he's a resident
something veteran, like that. Veteran. I know I came in before... I think it was before Angels of the Xeramin. I know for sure it was before the Eximus rework, because I was really new when that happened, and I was like, oh, wow, what are all these shiny enemies? I've seen the shiny ones before, but they weren't this shiny. So it must have been before the Eximus rework. And I remember Angels of the Xeramin loading screens, but I don't know exactly when I came in. Redacted, you've played... You were playing before I was.
Yes, so back
in my day...
Back
in 2017.
back when I was first playing Warframe... was the main thing I remember is like, okay, so if you know the pets that you can have.
Right.
You had the Kubro, how do you pronounce that?
Yeah, Kubro, Kavat.
That was all you had. You had the robotic ones too. You did have the robotic ones.
Yeah.
But that was it. No infesteds.
Okay, so they didn't have Deimos.
I think this is before Deimos.
Okay, so that was back during the Orc and Derelict days.
Your pets?
You heard of
it was like a virtual pet. It was like a virtual pet. If you left your pet, like if you didn't play the game for several days, you would come back and your pet would be dead. Also, you kept having to spend money on these little serums to fix their DNA, because their DNA would degrade over time and eventually they would die anyway.
Sounds Grineer.
Yeah. So pets were like destined to die if you didn't constantly maintain them.
Yeah, so that actually caused a little bit of confusion for us the other day, because you stopped playing not too long after Duveri came out.
Yeah, it was like after, because I played Duveri.
Yeah.
And then...
You actually hit Steel Path right before you...
What's the Warframe from Duveri? Did he come out with Duveri or after?
No, Kalervo came out after Duveri in a separate patch called the Crimes of Kalervo.
So I think
Seven Crimes of Kalervo.
I think I stopped like kind of right after Kalervo came out.
Yeah, but yeah, I've stopped playing Warframe many times. It's a game that it's very easy to burn yourself out on, and I've burned myself out many times, but I always find myself coming back and enjoying it. I've got so many hours. I don't think I've hit 2,000 yet, but I think last time I checked it was like 1,800 or something in that area. So, Dust, do you know off the top of your head how many hours you have on Warframe, roughly?
I can pull it up. I got it on my phone.
Okay. Yeah, we can. Okay. Jacob, how many hours do you have?
260.
That's pretty good.
When did I start? I don't really know.
You started, like, right after cross save. So that would have been.
No. I thought it was a.
Or cross play, sorry.
Mm-hmm. He's almost caught up to me on. Because
I think.
Master.
What update was it, though? Was there an update? Sayas Vigil?
No. Sai's Vigil was a long time ago. That came out with Planes of Eidolon.
Oh, goodness. Wow.
Yeah, that
started playing 2-3 years in?
I'm not sure. I feel like you joined right near the Companion rework, right?
Crossplay was recent.
So what was the second Companion rework? Because that's different.
Okay, oh yeah, that reminds me of what we were talking about earlier, the confusion, because... Dust had left before the Companion rework that came out. I can't remember what update had the Companion rework.
I remember it was recent. I saw a news post about it.
Yeah, so we were talking to Dust about how, companions don't die now. And he was like, that happened before I quit. And I was like, no, that came after Duveri, I know.
It's like different kind of dead. Not perma-dead.
Right. Yeah, which I've forgotten that you had played that long ago. Speaking of how long you played, how long have you played?
410.6 hours.
Okay. Yeah. Noob. You've got 400 hours. Wow.
Yeah. How many do you have?
Like 1,800. Something like that.
I find out how many I had when it was.
My Sea of Thieves is nowhere near that.
Yeah, I have almost 1,000 hours in Sea of Thieves.
You need to find something else to do.
Well, I paint.
Go touch grass.
I touched grass like 30 minutes ago.
So
actually, no, I didn't. I didn't get in the grass. Never mind. I touched concrete.
It was a year ago, I think.
Wait, okay, how many hours did you say you had in Sea of Thieves?
I had like upper 900s.
Yeah, so December 7th, I guess.
Granted, that doesn't include my Xbox hours.
Right. Didn't you play mainly on Xbox?
Originally, I did.
Yeah.
Yeah, December 7th. It's my first. It was like my first like letter. So
right.
Which when it was that? It was last of that, I guess.
I can't remember off the top of my head.
Operator, incoming transmission. It's from the void.
Hey, Jesse here. Unfortunately, we had to cut the audio recording right there and pick up on a different recording day. But I'll let the past me explain why exactly we had to do that.
Y'all may remember that homeless guy named Jacob who was on the podcast. We had some personnel issues. He saw a guy walking down the street carrying a jug of milk, and he said, "I want that milk." And he ran out of the studio. I'm using air quotes for studio, but he ran out, ran up to the guy with a switchblade, pulled it out and said, "Want to buy a knife?" And that's when I closed the curtains because I didn't want to be involved in any crimes due to, you know, Stardust past history. So we decided to go and find someone to replace Jacob, and we found, you know how you can, if you have twins, you can have an evil twin? Well, we found Jacob's good twin, who's also named Jacob. He is, believe it or not, the owner of the local Taco Bell here in Oshkosh, Wisconsin. A lot of Taco Bell in the family, I'm noticing. But welcome, good Jacob.
You are a poor family, we can only afford one name.
Yeah.
Funny enough, he's completely identical. We did a genetic scan, and he is like 99% the same.
I hate milk.
Yeah, except for
the 1% that
except for the bad gene. He doesn't have the bad gene. We've noticed already.
As far as we know.
Yeah, we never know. You know, it could be a recessive gene that just comes back up.
It could be due to the Taco Bell in the family line.
Yes, because that's what it is. If you have a lack of Taco Bell, then it turns you evil. And since you own the Taco Bell, you've got all the Taco Bell you want.
Can also agree Taco Bell brings out the worst in people.
Where did you hear that?
I think it's a lack of Taco Bell. Oh, you mean brings out.
Yes.
Yeah, yes. We still don't know why that happens.
It's under it now. Yeah, it's in research and development.
We're studying that as we speak, actually. You know, fun fact. So, back to the podcast. We were about to talk about the state of Warframe as it is right now. Let's see, what's the date today?
It is the 25th.
The 25th, June 25th, 2024. So we just last week, actually, yeah, a week ago, Jade Shadows released. Very cool quest. Don't want to get into it yet because we're going to be doing quest episodes.
Spoiler free.
Spoiler. No, the quest episodes are not going to be spoiler free.
Well, you know, we can talk about it a little bit and then say spoiler alert, then they can just, you know.
Right. So, fun fact, I'm not sure if we even mentioned this on the last podcast. Mitchell, you don't really play Warframe.
Yeah, I do not. I played it a few times. I wasn't the best at it. I'm a very simple-minded person, so wrapping my head around something with so many... Don't point at me!
I'm pointing and laughing.
Wrapping my head around something, for me, that is so complex, which isn't for most people, it's kind of difficult to do.
And we're talking about brain food.
Yeah, that's a pretty common experience for Warframe players and people trying to get into Warframe, because it's such an old game and has so much added over the years. It's just getting piled on and piled on. It's really difficult to come in as a new player and just figure all that out.
That's why I have y'all.
Yes, I was about to say, especially if you don't have anyone experienced to be your guide or whatever to get through the game. So yeah, the state of the game as it is today, how do y'all feel like the game's actually going in general? Like, how do you think it's doing?
That's actually a hard question to answer.
Yeah, Taco Bell Man's gonna answer first.
Yeah, hey, that's good Jacob to you.
Oh, good Jacob Taco Bell Man. That doesn't like milk.
Taco Bell Manager.
Oh, Taco Bell Man.
Wait, manager? Manager or franchise owner?
Franchise owner.
Franchise owner, okay.
He's rich off Taco Bell money.
So,
dirty Taco Bell money.
Twin brother is poor.
Oh, yeah. He's
our family, remember, our family was poor. He only afforded one name. That's why he's also named Jacob.
Couldn't you buy a new name after that?
Well, wait, isn't the R&D
I'm
lab...
I'm actually used to it.
Isn't the R&D lab going to pay him, like, a decent sum for researching his bad gene?
Okay, so, current state of the game. Current state of the game. I don't know much on this because I haven't played it in ages, but it was nice when I played it, but very complicated, and I love the aesthetics.
Yes, it is. For a, what, 11-year-old game? 12-year-old game?
Let me check.
Yeah, I think the closed beta came out in 2012, if I remember correctly. For a 11- or 12-year-old game, it is gorgeous, especially the new tile set, or, well, I guess technically it's not a new tile set, but the Whispers in the Walls Entrati Lab tile set. It's stunning what they were able to do with the lighting and the fog systems and all that.
What game engine is this in? Is this like a in-house game engine?
Let's see. I believe it's the Evolution engine, which was created by Digital Extremes, the makers of Warframe. I'm trying to think. The only other game that I can think of, or two games that were run on the Evolution engine, would be Dark Sector, which was the spiritual predecessor to Warframe, and I think Unreal Tournament, which is another one that was made by DE a long time ago before Warframe.
I actually didn't know that.
Yeah.
So they, some of these are like former Unreal people.
No, Unreal Tournament, as far as I'm aware, had nothing to do with Unreal Engine. I think it was just the title of the series. It was Unreal Tournament. Like, it was a shooting game. Like a FPS.
I might have to go double check that, because I think there is an Unreal Tournament.
It could... I could be wrong on that.
Pending for further review.
Check me.
Yeah, pending for further review.
But yeah, state of the game, in my current opinion, there's a lot of work to be done, but everything I've seen over the past year or two since Rebecca Ford has become the creative director, everything seems to be going in a positive direction. Things are slowly getting better for new players. They're trying to kind of make the experience a little better. One big thing if D is listening to this podcast, something that I would recommend personally is get rid of the Duveri paradox for new players. It's a great experience. It's a lot of fun, but it does nothing but confuse new players. Can you imagine trying to come into the story starting with the Duveri paradox?
Yeah.
Wait a minute. Okay, can I chime in?
Yeah.
So, is that the one with the...
It's like Souls-like.
Like, whenever you are in the weird place that's like a bunch of gold and... Not gold, but it's like... I don't know how to explain.
There's like gold statues and stuff.
Yeah, and the color scale's all weird.
Yes.
It's like a weird dimension that only exists inside the paradox.
I started before that. I didn't play much, and then I got back into it whenever that happened, and I had no idea what I was doing, and eventually I found a chest on the road or something like that, and it was bugged out, so I couldn't open it, and I couldn't do anything
right
in that little area, and that's whenever I actually stopped, because I didn't know where to go, I didn't know what to do, I was super confused. Great aesthetics, I loved it, but...
Oh, Duveri is beautiful.
I didn't know what to do.
This is actually like a perfect example.
Right,
what
yeah.
we were just talking about.
Yeah, fun fact actually about Duveri was announced before the new war even came out. So people have been waiting for that for a long time.
Is it the new war or the old war where you see the Drifter?
There is no old war quest.
All right, so I think what they need to lock it behind is the new war, because that's where you actually see the Drifter for the first time. And then you understand some things about it?
Yeah, actually, fun fact, the first, maybe not the first time you see the Drifter, but when you see the Drifter in the New War, he makes a comment and says, I should have stayed in Duveri in the new war quest before Duveri even came out.
I think that's something that's talking about behind the whole new war quest, and then you can get Duveri.
Yeah, but I didn't notice that until I saw someone playing it afterwards.
So if we haven't strayed too far, I want to kind of get into what we were just talking about with the Duveri for new players, and if it's okay, I may lean back a little bit to where I think the game is at right now, if that's okay.
Yeah.
So Duveri for new players, I agree with like what Mitchell said, and I do think, because Duveri is an awesome experience, I actually heard another YouTuber say that it's like a game within a game, and I 100% agree with that. Do you?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Yeah. This experience is so far removed from the rest of Warframe that it's definitely, I would say it's a misleading experience for new players. I do understand why they want it at the beginning, because it makes getting Warframes so much easier. It's amazing. And it also, it gives people a chance to experience Warframes that they won't be able to, you know, actually farm for themselves for some time, and that's definitely a good thing, but it's just, it feels like a deterrent to new players to have something that far out of, away from everything else. Yeah, that's...
Well, yeah, because so far removed, it is so far removed from, like, baseline Warframe gameplay. It's an awesome experience, but, like, it's... You do, like, have kind of an introduction. You learn how to do things within Duveri, but that's completely different and separate from how things work in normal Warframe. You're not going to have that style of melee combat with parrying and blocking and stuff like that. Small side note, I would actually like to see the parrying and melee system in Duveri expanded upon. I don't know if they will. I love it, but, like, just a little more flair would be nice. Anyway, put that in parentheses. I'm going back to the thing.
I don't really see that coming anytime soon.
I don't either. I don't think it's necessary.
Honestly, I don't really anticipate many Duveri updates anytime soon. They add new decrees with the updates, but I don't think we're going to see any kind of major overhauls. However, what I do anticipate coming in the future, I'm calling it now, June 24th, what was it?
The 25th.
25th.
2024.
I know my days. June 24th, 2024, I'm calling it sometime, maybe not this year, but either this year or next year, we are going to get a Railjack rework. I'm calling it, and here's why. For years, ever since the Kuva Liches and the Sisters of Parvos got added, people have been asking for infested liches. They have been begging for that for who knows how long. But the way the Kuva Liches and Sisters of Parvos actually work is you have to go to Railjack after you've done all the Requiem mods and found their sequence and all that. You have to go into Railjack to hunt them down on one of the Proximas, but you have to do that on the corresponding faction tiles. So, like, if it's a Kuva Lich, you have to do a Grineer faction planet to hunt them down, or if it's a Sister of Parvos, you have to do Corpus. But there are no infested planets in Railjack right now. I think if they add the infested liches, they're going to have to add the final boss battle, quote-unquote, in Railjack on infested nodes, which don't exist yet. So they're going to have to make infested Railjack missions. And I think if they're going to go to the trouble to do that, I think they're going to completely rework it, because people... As much as I hate it, people don't really like Railjack right now. I think it's a lot of fun.
We can tell our name. We love Railjack.
Yes, Railjack is really fun. I hate that there's just not enough incentive to bring most people into it.
Yeah, I'd like more mission types as well.
Right. There are several mission types. You know, you've got the Grineer Hijack, you've got Volatile. I definitely enjoy the Grineer missions more, because the Grineer missions are actually completely unique to, pretty much completely unique to Railjack, whereas Corpus, it's just, you know, spy or survival or defense.
I'm gonna be honest, what I think would be a cool mission, I don't think this would be alone. There's more needed than this, but I think it would be a cool thing to add while they're doing things. Imagine a mission where you're pulling up a lot, like chasing down another like Railjack side, whether it's another Railjack or it's some type of big Corpus battleship, and you're actually like having a ship-to-ship battle. Boarding may be an option, but I don't want it to just be board and then it turns into a regular tile set mission, you know what I mean?
Right, or like the cruise ships, because, yeah. You know, it's...
The cruise ships is not the same.
Yeah, I love that idea, having like an actual like galleon.
Yes, I mean like cannons going off, like you're side to side on the ship, broadside and the stew out of these suckers, and like maybe, I don't know, harpoons or something, but like...
Yeah, so... Myself, Mitchell, and Stardust all used to play Sea of Thieves all the time.
I played a little bit. Thieves.
Yeah, that's right. I forgot. Good Jacob. You did. Good sir. Good Jacob.
Good Jacob.
I forgot you used to play a little bit of Sea of Thieves, but that's one of the reasons I like Railjack so much is you get that Sea of Thieves experience, but sci-fi.
Really? And
yeah, well, the general, you know... Ship combat, you
have but I think Railjack moves way faster than a ship.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah, it's way faster.
It's a much higher octane type experience.
Okay, imagine this. Imagine Duviri Railjack missions, but not just Duviri Railjack missions, but imagine there's sort of like a space nebula slash sort of like an ocean, but it's also spacey.
That would be interesting.
That would be interesting. And it may not be the same Railjack. It may be slightly different, but it feels more like a ship, but also still like a Railjack. And it's still very much a spaceship, but you feel like you're like going through this like water or nebula substance or fluid or something like that. And it just has like more aesthetics and mechanics to it.
I think we should talk about, since we pretty much got on the topic, of things we want in the game, like updates or something. I can't think of anything. Well, I mean, I do want the Railjack stuff. Off the top of my head, I can't think of really anything I want right now.
I have something, but I'll save it for later.
Well, you can just do it now.
I tell you, what am I going to tell you? I've forgotten.
You forgot.
Well, dang it, what was I thinking? Lots of people want, like, Destiny 2-style raids to come back. People have been asking that for a long time.
Remind me what that is, because I haven't played... So I played a little bit, but not a lot.
That's going to be a much more mechanic-driven boss fight.
Okay.
So it's not just like, oh, I'm bringing, you know, my Latron and Incarnon, and I'm going to melt it in 2 seconds because I have so much damage. You gotta, like, figure out puzzles and work out odd mechanics. They did a really good job, in my personal opinion, with the Fragmented Tide, if I remember correctly. The boss fight in the new Entradi
labs. Also, remind me, the Archon hunts, didn't you have to, like, use a special type of damage? Or am I thinking of, like, sentience or something?
No, you don't need any. You don't have to have any particular damage type.
What was the special thing you used to have to do on Archon hunts? Or am I thinking of something else?
I think you may be thinking of something else. It's not coming to mind right now.
Okay.
Although one of the Archons has little helpers they'll spawn, little sentient helpers that I believe take more damage from void damage.
Well, also know sentience, you had to swap what type of damage you were doing because they would get like immune to it after a while.
Right. I don't know if they become fully immune, but like big damage reduction.
Yeah, essentially where it's like you need to swap or you're going to be there forever. Right. But like something like that mixed in with some puzzles, mixed in with some invulnerability stages. Honestly, and I know we get a little bit of this, but some good old-fashioned, like, attack patterns would be kind of nice. Mm,
yeah.
Like, imagine, which, there was a few bosses that had that, but some bosses that had, like, straight-up, like, nice stylistic, like, attack patterns where you, like, see a wave about to come out before it hits. And you get, like, a few split seconds to react to it. Could I go ahead and list what I wanted in the game? Okay, so something, one of the...
Actually, no, never mind, I changed my mind.
No, okay.
No, you're good. Go
ahead. So one of the big things that I would like to see down the road is kind of a, I guess you would call it a rework on how the grind feels. I know I've mentioned this before off podcast, but like more like a rebalance, if you get what I mean. Like I want it to feel weighted and paced, right, to where I don't mind a little grind, but I, of course, want the reward to feel proportionate. And there's sometimes it just doesn't. It feels like you grind forever and ever and ever and ever and ever. And I understand sometimes it's like RNG, random percentages, stuff like that. But it feels like you grind really hard, really long, long time, and you get little things, and then finally you get the big thing you've been after.
Right. I feel like they've started doing a much better job of this with the recent Warframe releases.
Yes.
With the pity systems. Also, I'm not sure when the last time you did an Archon hunt was, but the Archon hunts have a pity system as okay. well.
I actually need to do some Archon hunts. Do you have to have the helmet segment unlocked in order to do an Archon hunt, or can you do those without?
I think you can do it without, but you can't actually put the Archon shards on.
Yeah, you can't do anything with shards.
As you can see here, every time you do an Archon hunt without getting a Tau Forged for that particular color, the next time that color comes up, you have an additional 20% chance to get a Tau Forged version of it. So, for example, I've done the Amber Archon shard, 3 weeks without actually getting the Tau Forged. So now I have a 60% chance of getting Tau Forged. And if I miss it this week, then next time it comes around, I'll have an 80% chance until it resets when I actually get a Tau Forged. So they're doing better about that. But yeah, I agree that it can be rough sometimes. I was farming for the Carmine Penta a while back, and the drop rates are not that low on it.
No, I remember like, well, yeah, drop rates aren't that low, but I also remember some other items that we were grinding for back when I used to, early days of Warframe. It was like, a 10% drop rate?
Oh, it can get even worse. The Jade Blueprint parts are 5% each.
For the Warframe or for the weapons?
I think it's both. They all have 5% drop rates.
But there's only like one singular mission.
Right. There's one mission where you can get the Volatile Motes that also has the chance for all of those parts.
Oh, so the Volatile Motes, that's
the pity system. Yeah.
Something about the Jade, and kind of to be very specifically, I like that you had that it's the same mission every time, but you can also do like different modes of the mission. Like you can play as Stalker in the Jade missions. Like that'd be a cool thing to see in a lot of other missions where you can you do the same mission, but you have a different mode to like do it like a certain way to where right. you can play as like, well, just other modes that where you do the same thing, you get the rewards, but you're doing it differently somehow.
Right. And something that actually reminded me that you, Jacob, were saying off air earlier, Stalker mode for the Ascension game mode, why can't you do that with your own party? I hate that you have to separate from your crew to actually play as the Stalker. Like, that would be so much fun to play with your crew as a Stalker, but you have to leave and go solo, which, you know.
The only exception being Daviri, but it's not quite the same.
Right, you can't control when you get the Stalker in Daviri, yeah. So yeah, that's not great, but, you know, at least they're moving in the direction. Do y'all think we're ever actually going to get the Stalker as a playable Warframe?
Doubt it.
Maybe not playable Warframe, but maybe they'll add more things we can do with it.
Oh, the Warframes where you can do something like that.
I wonder what's going to become after the events of the Jade Light quest.
Yes.
It was called Jade Light, right? Or Jade Shadows.
Yep.
We won't get into that. No spoilers. I caught myself.
No spoilers, but yes, I am very excited to see what comes from that.
I think they want to keep it to where, I mean, okay, I understand us, I mean, getting Stalker as like an actual Warframe, but like, I know they probably want to have it to where you have only one Stalker in your party at a time, which makes sense,
true.
But like, it just, I really think you should be able to do it with your own party or whatever. I mean, it just doesn't make sense, like, why you can't just have one person as a Stalker and you can't do it with your own party. I mean, I would like to play with people I know. So that's only how I actually usually ever play Warframe is when I'm with people I know.
What if one of two things? What if they made a system where you could party up and go in and a random person gets the Stalker?
I mean, that's a way around it, but yeah. I still think you should just be able to choose. Like, if you're, since you're with people you know, and you're, like, talking to them on, like, Discord or whatever, you'd be like, okay, this is when my turn to be talking, next time it's you, next time it's you, next time it's you, you know.
Fun fact about Warframe, they actually have audio chat in Warframe. I don't know if y'all knew that.
I didn't know that for so long, and I had played, so I played longer than, Jesse. Like,
yeah, he was in there a good bit
before. Yeah, frame of reference, I know we briefly talked about this in earlier in the podcast, but just for frame of reference, I played back when your companions were essentially virtual pets, and you had to maintain them with resources, or else their DNA would degrade and they would die, or if you didn't play the game for a few days, you would come back and found they had died. And I'm trying to remember, I think it might have even cost platinum or some really rare resource to revive them, one of the two.
Yeah, it would have surprised me if it was platinum, but...
I think it was platinum.
Well, that actually brings me to another thing we can discuss, monetization in Warframe.
I think they're doing okay on that.
I was about to ask, do y'all think it's fair how we have it set up right now? Because I think it's fair to say that Warframe isn't exactly pay to win, but it's definitely, there is the possibility you can, if you want, spend enough money to get the good gear.
If you really hate grinding, like I do.
Right, but there's also the fact of the whole point of the game is the grinding. That's what the game is, and you're kind of just paying to not play the game that you're playing.
Are you saying if we don't like grinding, we can't enjoy the game?
Depends on the type of person you are.
You will not be able to fully enjoy what the game has to offer if that is the core gameplay loop. It doesn't mean you can't enjoy aspects of the game or even most of the game. It just means you're not enjoying the loop that is a part of the main gameplay.
But I'm not the biggest fan of grinding. I mean, I do grind, but I actually rarely ever buy things.
But it's like playing Animal Crossing and only fishing. Not catching bugs, not doing anything else, just fishing. That's basically what it comes down to.
Well, I mean, fishing can be fun.
Well, yeah, but Animal Crossing is so much more to offer in terms of collection. Not in terms of a lot of... It's fun. It's fun. Also, I solved two sides of the Rubik's Cube, so I'm done with it now. Here you go.
We have a community Rubik's Cube.
He's quitting while he's ahead.
Yeah, for those of us who... Rubik's.
So, to your previous question, I would say the community is actually what both makes it fair and makes it possible to pay to win. Because if you buy enough platinum, you can... There are people out there on the community market... Who is that the right word to use? The community market?
Yeah, I would.
Player market?
I'd say that.
You can go buy straight up premium Warframes and whatever. Now, the game devs do stop you in a sense of there are certain things that are not tradable. Are galvanized mods tradable?
Almost certainly, yeah.
Because I know there are certain things that are not tradable that you would need to technically get all the way top tier.
Yeah, so to actually really get quote-unquote power in Warframe, that is pretty much something that you can't buy.
Yeah.
Well, let me clarify that. You can't buy that from Warframe itself, like straight from the market. To do that, you actually have to trade with the players, and that's one good thing I like about
that. That's why I say it is both what makes it fair and could make it technically pay to win, but the Warframe market and the economy that has built up there is also what makes it fair in the sense of like the microtransactions. That's what makes it so good, is because you cannot spend a cent on this game. You can farm up tons and tons of rare, if you really spend the time and have your know-how and you know what to look for, you can spend tons of time grinding up all these rare parts, and then you can sell them in sets for like large amounts of platinum, and people will buy them with platinum that they spent money on, and you can then like store up a stockpile of platinum and then keep farming. So there's like a whole economy, and I think that's really cool, as long as it does not get abused or out of whack.
Yeah, but also you don't have to pay anything for this game, but it's also the quality of, you know, a AAA 60-70 game these days.
Have you seen? Yeah, I was about to say. Yeah, yeah. I was about to say Star Wars Outlaws over there at 100 and something for like the base version.
I understand it as $70 for the base version, with $100 being like 3 days early access.
Hang on, I'm gonna pull it up real quick.
Yeah, I believe it's 3 days early access, one character pack, and like a season pass. But yeah, it's ridiculous. Warframe, free updates. Every update is free. No, there is no such thing as content in Warframe that you have to pay for. Every bit of content you can get for free. Now, you can pay to get content easier. You can pay to get weapons and stuff. But really, what you would be paying for is mainly skins, which there are some cool skins. As a matter of fact, I really like Tenogen, which is a specific type of skin that's actually made by fans of Warframe who design it, send it into DE, and they take it, put it in-game, and the artist who made the skins actually get paid anytime someone buys that skin in-game.
By the fans, for the fans.
Yeah, pretty much. And there's some super cool Tenogen skins. Yeah, the main thing is skins. You can get boosters, which are nice, but the main thing is skins, and I feel like, well, skins and paying to speed up building something. Like right now, I'm building Jade. It has 21 hours left until it's done building, or I could just spend 41 platinum and have it built now.
Tip for new players, just unless you're really desperate and have a lot of money, don't ever speed up a build with platinum.
Do not do that.
Just save it for skins, save it for rare things that may come along and be time limited that you want to get. Save it for that.
I recommend using your starter platinum for Warframe and weapon slots.
Yes, yes.
Now that, I am not a big
cautiously
fan of
though. You have buying slots.
What about it?
I would always be cautious with any platinum purchase.
Right, yeah, of course.
I did find the prices. So the base version is $69.99, so $70. If this page would quit jumping around on my phone, that would be wonderful.
Don't. I think they have a song about that. I can't sing it or I'll get copyright.
Yeah, yeah, if you sing.
No, I'm such a good singer, they'll think it's the real
thing.
Yeah,
they'll think it's the original.
So I can't do that.
Okay, so that was the base version. They need to work on their mobile website. Their mobile website is a pain.
Could you be your phone?
$70.
No, it's not my phone. It just keeps jumping around.
You know, $70 for a game, and people are still going to pay for it.
$109. For the next
they're
version.
Fans of the franchise. Well,
exactly. People are going to pay $70 because it says Star Wars.
And then they're going to get massively disappointed and get really ticked off.
Not always.
I think they don't want us to read these. The website is glitching out so much.
All right.
Don't we know how much
so
it is?
So the thing about big purchases, even whenever it comes to video games and things of that nature, if it's any big purchase, if someone is a fan of something largely enough to the point where they're just infatuated with the franchise, not everyone, because I know you love Star Wars.
Oh, yeah.
And you're like huge into it. There's a clone trooper helmet over there. Don't correct me if it's not true.
No, that's true.
Okay, cool.
You
awesome.
Got it right. It's Commander
Cody.
Yeah. Thank you. So whatever that is. But if you like something enough, even if it is a higher price, if you want it, you're going to get it. And if you don't enjoy it fully, but it has enough qualities, not all redeeming qualities, but if it has the aesthetic of what you're looking for, and if it has some form of an addictive gameplay loop. It doesn't have to be a big thing. It doesn't have to be really awesome. It's just, it has to keep you entertained a little bit, and it also has to have the aesthetic that you're looking for. A lot of people, not all, because some people will get severely disappointed, but I know for me personally, again, very simple-minded here. If there is a, for example, Pirates of the Caribbean open-world game, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to buy it. You know what I'm not going to do? Refund it. no matter what happens, just to say, oh, I've played it, and I can go back to it because I like the way it looks. I love the graphics.
What,
I like
what if you get in there and it's just polygons?
Well, at that point, yeah, I'm going to want a refund.
But you can't.
Star Wars, from what I've seen, that game actually has a beautiful art style.
Oh, it's gorgeous. The art style is gorgeous.
And because of that, even if things are janky, if I really wanted it, I was a big Star Wars fan, I would go out, I would buy it, I would play it because of the art style and because it has some form of a gameplay loop. Unless I am severely bored, I'm not going to refund it. And that's what a lot of people probably, if they're simple-minded like me, that's what they're going to do. But a lot of people are wise enough not to buy a $70 game.
Yeah, I have actually done that before, not to that degree. Are you good?
Yeah, I'm fine.
Okay, don't hurt yourself.
Man down.
Okay, so I'll keep this super brief. So there was a game called New Gundam Breaker that it was the first Gundam game I had access to on PC, and I just wanted it like crazy. And so I got it. It was bad. It was bad, but it was my only access to a Gundam game, so I was enjoying it, and now that I've had other Gundam games, I never play it again. I have literally like almost removed it from my library.
But did you refund it?
No, I can't. I played it too long.
Precisely right.
I spent so many hours on that game. But yeah, so one last thing. We'll get back on topic on the Star Wars game. If you buy the base game, you do not get access to Jabba the Hutt missions. You have to buy one of the versions up. I forget if it's gold or the next version. You have to pay like $100 and something to get access to Jabba the Hutt stuff.
But you know what?
He's like a base character.
But you know what?
People are going to do it.
People are going to do it because they want it. If people want it and it sucks, they still wanted it enough to get it. And they're going to try and convince themselves, it's good enough.
Yeah.
It's good enough.
Yeah, you'll like rationalize it to yourself. Yeah. That's exactly what I did. I feel like there's another game I did that on, but anyway, back to where we were at. Where were we at?
That's a good question. Where were we at?
Okay, so where are we at as far as your little...
About monetization.
Yes, so we were talking about monetization. I think they've done really well, because their motto holds true, ninjas play free.
Yes. One thing I would definitely say is very... I would call it predatory, the selling of resources.
Oh, wait, that's a... Oh, I forgot about that.
Yep, you can buy resources...
Wait, you can buy them from the market, not the player thing, the actual market. Oh, yeah, no, that's no. I remember that now. I remember when they started doing that. Because I remember there's this distinct point, they actually started that, and I remember there was a little bit of jazz about it. What kind of... Is it just, like, straight up, like, plastids and stuff?
Yeah, you can buy just random...
Is it with credits or with platinum?
It is platinum, if I remember correctly.
Oh, I see it. Or that's on the fireworks.
Yeah, that's something else. Let me just look up plastids, because everyone needs plastids all the time, always.
Yes, you always need plastids. Yeah, now I'm finding more of them. I remember when we used to always need oxium, and we could never find any, and now we find it everywhere. Like, I have so much oxium, it's coming out my ears. It's a figure of speech.
Okay, so
30 platinum. How many plastids do you get?
300 plastids for 30 platinum. I can do a 10-minute mission. If I was going Steel Path, you know, Hydroid, Necros, full team, you know, I could get that in 5 minutes. And they're charging 30 platinum for it.
Can we sell? Are those? Wait, no. Resources aren't tradable, so we can't. The player market cannot sell this stuff for that much platinum. Yet, if we want to buy it, we have no. Okay, I have a problem with that.
Yeah,
I had forgotten completely about that.
It can also be a trap for new players.
That's very much a trap, because I guarantee you, there's like some little bundles like people can kind of end up with, like where it's like they're a new person and they get maybe a little bit of starter platinum. I don't know if that's actually a thing, but I feel like that could easily be a thing, or maybe a YouTuber promotion, like, hey, put in my code here to get some starting platinum.
Yeah, every player starts off with 100 platinum, but it's untradeable. Fun fact:
I'm pretty sure I played before that was a thing, because I didn't get 100 platinum when I started.
Yeah, any platinum you get gifted to you, any platinum that wasn't bought is untradeable.
Yeah, and it doesn't mean it's like, oh, you can't trade platinum. No, no, no. It means if you want to buy a blueprint from somebody on the player market, your platinum is worthless. You cannot buy like Ember Prime set if you want to. Okay, probably not Ember Prime, because that one's like super rare. But like another not rare Prime Warframe will probably run you about 50 to 60 per set, give or take, like a full set. Or Wait, that's weapons. Does that run the same for Warframes? I haven't checked Warframe Market.
It depends on the Warframe.
Okay, weapon sets. Like, I was looking up the Exceltra Prime. You buy the full weapon set, it costs you, like, 50 platinum, 60 platinum. Some go crazier, but that's kind of, like, baseline. This means if you wanted to spend, like, half your platinum just to buy a really nice gun in the game, you could not, because your platinum is untradeable.
Right, and that not only goes for the starting 100, but Warframe Digital Extremes does a lot of platinum giveaways. Like, if you're watching their live streams, they'll do 2 or 3 1,000 platinum giveaways. If you get that, you can't trade it, only spend it. So
it's like 1,000 platinum to spend on our products.
Yeah, which, I mean, they got some pretty cool products.
They do. I will give them that, but I don't like that it's not tradable. And the thing we're buying plastids and stuff like that, I agree, that's very predatory.
Absolutely. Yeah, that's bad. I can understand why they don't want to make your starting platinum tradable.
Yeah,
because, you know, you could just go start a new account, boom, 100 platinum.
Yeah, you could farm that.
So yeah, that's basically our thoughts on monetization at the moment. One trend that I've noticed they've started doing recently is they've started reworking Warframes.
Yes.
This is a very good trend. Let's see. I'm not sure there was a little bit of a rework with this, but in Jade Shadows, they reworked damage types. So things have changed a lot on that.
Didn't they rework health types too?
Enemy health types, yes.
Enemy health types.
They've definitely simplified that and made it much simpler for
What about Warframe health type?
No, those stay the same.
Okay, so did those ever need reworking?
I think it's good where it's at the moment. But one of the things they did change was how cold status procs work. Let's see, I think before the update, if you had 10 cold status procs, enemies would be slowed by 80%. But now, if you have 10 cold status procs on an enemy, they will completely freeze for 3 seconds. To bring him up to date, they did a little tweak on Frost. So now his abilities, instead of just quote-unquote freezing enemies, they put 10 cold stacks on him. And they also changed its passive to work essentially how Ember's passive works. So every enemy within a certain distance that has a cold proc on them will boost Frost's armor, which is like Ember, except she gets ability strength for enemies with heat procs. Okay, so I have it pulled up here. Frost's passive, cold status effects from Frost abilities have their duration increased by 100%, and Frost gains 50 armor per enemy with a cold status effect within 15 meters. So just by using his abilities, you're boosting his armor, which that would actually work great with the new Arcane Battery. I'm not going to go into builds right now, but
that'll go like a whole nother thing.
Yeah, but this is a trend recently. They're bringing old frames up to date and making things better. They're releasing new augments.
Reworking them like Hydroid.
Yep, Hydroid not too long ago got reworked. Inaros got a rework. Everyone's getting brought up to date.
Ember got a rework.
Ember...
I think I heard actually, she got a partial rework recently.
I can't remember if that came with Jade Shadows or if that's coming at TennoCon when they released the heirloom skin.
I know there was somebody able to like show what the rework was like, so maybe it was like coming and it's like somebody was showing like alpha or not alpha. Somebody was showing like beta footage or something. I don't know.
It could
Hydroid. They reworked Hydroid and like made him good.
Yeah, I remember Mitchell showing you the Hydroid Prime trailer and saying, man, it's a shame that he sucks, but he doesn't suck anymore. So if we ever get you playing again, we'll...
Prime version sucks even less and looks more like a pirate.
Yes, but of course there's skins to make him look cooler.
Well, yeah. There's nothing cooler than a pirate.
Yeah, he has like a beard.
Well, he looks like a cooler pirate.
Like, do they actually have like a legit, like a cooler pirate skin besides just the Prime?
Yes, this skin I have here, let me pull this up.
That looks like Treebeard.
Hey, don't insult my...
It's not insulting, it looks like a tree!
Hydroid. It's Captain Beard!
Captain Brute!
Captain Reeves!
Captain Baby Beard!
Stevie Jones!
Yeah, so this is...
Okay, yeah, I see it, it's cool.
He doesn't have his cape on right now, I can put that on. But,
We'll have no capes!
No capes.
We're pirates, not superheroes. It's fine.
But yeah, so There we go. Oh, that's more of a coat. But still, very
good. That's really awesome. That's a very piratey coat. He would have, like, a coat.
I need Hydroid Prime. Anyway, yeah, so that's a good trend we're seeing. So I'd been working on my notes for this episode for a long time before the status rework was even announced, and I had marked down to mention the viral slash combo, which used to be undoubtedly, definitively the best damage combo in the game. But now, with the status rework, you can have a lot of viable statuses. Like, even Blast is viable now.
Wait, Blast is viable?
Yes, they completely changed how Blast works.
Okay, I need to hear this.
Okay, so Blast deals 30% of base damage after 1.5 seconds as an explosion at 10 stacks, or on death, stacks deal their damage simultaneously to enemies within 5 meters while staggering them. So... It's gotten better, for sure. You can actually use it now.
Yeah, that's really nice. Okay, so my question is, for all of us, what is something you would want to see Warframe mechanics in? What is a change from, or what is something you think Warframe could learn from another game? And what is, like, something you would see Warframe mechanics combined with mechanics from another game?
Literally every game needs bullet jump.
I do agree with that. Now, I will preface this, you can pick anything, but in my mind, I am personally thinking about the status effects and damage and stuff like that.
Yeah, I've played Warframe for so long that pretty much every other game, when I play it, I'm like, this is so slow, I want to bullet jump, I just want to move. That is one thing I love about Warframe so much, is all the movement mechanics. Not just bullet jump, but aim gliding, the rolling, Wukong's cloud walker, Goss's speed, you know, Volt's speed, Titania's speed, Revenant's speed.
Goss's speed.
I mentioned him. Wisp's speed. All the
Excalibur
speeds.
Technically has speed with his first ability if you jack up the ability strength long enough.
Yeah, and range.
We have a hand raised.
I wouldn't say every game, because I think it has to be, if we want to add things from Warframe to other games, it has to be a game like Warframe. Like, you don't want
War Thunder!
You don't want to play, like, Mario and have freaking bullet jump for just, like, no reason.
I was exaggerating.
It needs to be, like, a game like Warframe. Like, what's a game that you play like Warframe?
Some Destiny 2. Destiny 2 would really benefit.
Yeah, it has to be like a third-person shooter or something like that. Like, I was going to say, as I played a little bit, y'all talk like it's Sea of Thieves.
Well, Railjack, the Railjack section.
I will say this, not every game should have a bullet jump, but every game should have good quality movement. And yes, even if your movement isn't super fast, as long as you have good movement, like, let's say you can get, like, a super good vertical jump that you could potentially use momentum in order to push you farther or faster in a direction. As long as the game has good quality, decently quick movement, because I like games that don't allow you to walk. They just force you to sprint 100% of the time. Because you don't have to toggle anything.
That would also be where, like, understanding your game's pacing comes in. Because there's certain games where a slow, smooth pace would work.
Far Cry 5 is a game that I enjoy the movement in. There's nothing really special about it. It just feels right. It's a good speed. You're not slow. You've got vehicles if you need them. But just walking around, sprinting, it feels good. The grappling mechanics and everything, it's just the slide. Feels good.
The reason I asked the question is what I was pondering at the time was, what if you had some combination of involving RoboQuest? Because the status effects in RoboQuest are amazing.
For those of you who don't know, RoboQuest is a fun little roguelite robot shooter.
Sounds familiar.
Yes.
To Deviri.
Deviri.
That was a loud pop. I hope this chair's okay.
Yeah, don't die, please. But on the plus side, if you die, the warrants go away.
And it breaks your own chair, so...
You know, break it, you buy it, you already bought it, so you're ahead of the curve on that. RoboQuest, fun little roguelite, recommend it. It's, what, $20 on Steam?
I think so.
Something like that.
It's a first-person roguelite.
Yes. Cheap, fun, fun.
Fun. Roguelike. The only improvement that I would say RoboQuest really needs right now is 4-person co-op instead of 2-person co-op, which it may have that. I haven't played it in a minute.
Cross-platform, though. So that's
yes, cross-platform, which is amazing, especially for playing with Mitchell.
Yep.
Because it needs to be cross-platform right for now. But my question, let's narrow my question specifically to RoboQuest for a specific example. Would you want Warframe to take something from RoboQuest? Would you want RoboQuest to take something from Warframe? Or would you like a combination of a merger?
I like that you're a little squishier in RoboQuest. I don't know. In Warframe, you can definitely do activities that are much more difficult, but most of the time, you're pretty much gonna be okay in Warframe. And even if you do die, you can revive yourself 5 times. Whereas in RoboQuest, you kind of have to be more careful and more on the ball with things because I mean, you can die. And you can die permanently, you know, fairly easily. So sometimes, and Warframe's doing a good job of that. They just added a new, more difficult mode called Deep Archimedia, which is very difficult. From what I've heard, I actually haven't done it yet, but starting level is like 220, and they have a bunch of modifiers, like the sorties where, I don't know, can't bring a rifle, or you have to pick this frame to get certain rewards or whatever. So a little more difficulty in just a standard enemy at the start would be good.
I would kind of like a merger of both of the status systems. Because there are things that the status system is amazing in RoboQuest, but I'm not sure it entirely fits Warframe, but there are some things I would like to take from RoboQuest and bring over to Warframe. I mean, while there are some things
that you want to just stay over here.
Imagine if we had like just some of the stuff from like how damage works in RoboQuest merged with Warframe's damage system, as well as keeping Warframe's movement system. Anyway, where are we off to next?
Just a quick touch on the subsume system. You can, for those of you who are newer to the game, later on, you gain the ability to take an ability off of one Warframe and put it onto another. They are set abilities. You don't get to choose which abilities you can move, unfortunately. But there are some that are just definitively better in every way than some others. For example, Roar. Roar is one of the best abilities in the game. It boosts your damage, but it acts as a faction damage mod, essentially, which, for those of you who have been playing for a while, you know how powerful those can be. Yeah, there are just some, like, Nourish that are so dominant. It was the number one subsume ability, and nothing else was even close to it. So recently, they toned it down a little bit. They specifically said, and I don't know how y'all might feel about this statement, but they essentially said, we don't want to take it out from number one. We want to leave it at the top, but we want to tone it down some. How do y'all feel about there being some weapons and some abilities and some Warframes that are just definitively the best? Do you think it needs to be more balanced, or do you like having the option of like, oh, okay, I know if I do this, it's gonna work?
I think that either way it's going to happen. I understand what you're saying. Whenever it comes to having better balance or a variety of the ones you know are good or the ones you know are better, eventually you're still going to have the ones that are better to some capacity, and that just comes with the amount of variety you have between Warframes. Without all the variety, it would be a crap ton more balanced, and if they... there are ways you can find balance, but it just feels better when you're able to unlock or find... I don't know necessarily how unlocking Warframes works, but whenever you're able to shoot to get another Warframe because you know they're better than what you have, or you know that the moveset they have is something more equipped to handle the missions and things that you're going to go on in the future. If they balance it too much, it can become pretty stale, but I haven't played in a long time, so I don't know how the balance is right now, if it's in a good ratio or if it needs to be tweaked. So That's just my two cents.
So I think they're heading in the right direction. There are... So this is one of the qualms I do have with War Thunder, but it has gotten better. I think it's going to head in the right direction. Was you'd find this weapon, really cool weapon, but it is a very, as far as the player is considered, a low tier weapon, which means you can max it out with mods. Now, there's some mods you get later on. There's eventually a point with mods you get later on that, Jesse, correct me if I'm wrong, there you get somewhere with mods where not necessarily everything can be top tier, but you can even make some of the lower tier weapons like pretty nasty.
Oh, yeah, there's pretty much no weapons, it's Doug, that are so bad that you can't make them good with mods and arcanes.
But also, there is kind of like tiers of weapon, which ideally in Warframe's balancing system, I feel like that's probably going to end up being the best environment. Not just one particular best, you don't want it that, because then everybody has to run the same thing. You want kind of like a tier level of like, oh, these are like top tier, these are really good picks, these are strong, these are okay, and these are beginner.
Yeah.
I'm not saying you should strive to have exactly that, but I think that's probably the best place to sort of end up, as in, like, soft, blurred lines in between them, not like a hard one. You get what I mean? Like, it's not like, this frame is clearly in this category. It's like, the player's like, yeah, from my experience, this Warframe kind of sits kind of here, and this gun sits kind of here. Which is kind of the case right now. It just needs a little more work to fully get there. Because when you have... Then you have the variety. Because then you have, like... Let's say you have 10 or so Warframes that are, like, top tier. Or 20 Warframes that are, like, top tier. You know? Which I don't know exactly what the case is on that.
I agree. PvP. Moving on. Because that's pretty much all there is to say.
Yeah, I'd like some spaces for it. That's it.
That's what I was wanting to remember earlier. I know it's never going to happen, but it would be so cool if there was PvP Railjack. That would be epic.
Yeah, that'd be fun.
It's not going to happen.
Or just the PvP mode in general, because Dojo just... Eh.
We have Conclave.
Not like a full-on... That's different. Like, not like a... Definitely not a competitive, like, ranked PvP. No. Just a little fun PvP place... Or, you know, you lore-wise, you could say it's like a place where Tenno sharpens Tenno. Something like that.
Yeah. There's Conclave, but no one plays it. And it's just, in a game like this that's so old and has so much, it would be impossible to go back and balance everything for PvP. It can't happen.
Yeah. You could do, like, Deviri, where it's, like, almost a completely different game.
Yeah. I mean, there's always Frame Fighters. Hey.
Yeah, I forgot about Frame Fighters. So many people overlook Frame Fighters, and if it wasn't so buggy, it would be a lot of fun.
Yeah, it's just so buggy. And that was one of the main reasons that people didn't like Railjack when it launched, because it was so unplayably buggy. People often refer to this game as Bug Frame because of how... buggy it can be at times.
Oh, I just remembered a doozy of a question, but it would definitely be spoilers for Mitchell, and it would be spoilers for any new players that would be listening, so probably ask that off.
Yeah. One spoilery thing, I'm not actually going to do spoilers, but one note I had for the game, I think that they should move the second dream to Jupiter. The second dream is really where the story starts to get interesting. And honestly, the story in Warframe is amazing. It is so rich and deep, and there's so much to it, and the lore is... It's really good, but they put it so far down the line that, you know, you can't get interested in it if you can't let the lore carry the game if the lore is so far down the line that the people who need the lore are never going to get to it in the first place, if that makes sense. But I feel like they should move it up earlier in the star chart for sure. Jupiter's just a suggestion, but something like that. Yeah, so that's about all the notes I had for the first episode. Overall, Warframe is a really fun game. I really enjoy playing it. I've been playing it for too long, but I'm going to keep playing it because it keeps being fun and they keep adding new things. And I've burnt out so many times on it, but I always end up coming back because it's just, it it's fun. It's just fun. It just works. But yeah, this is the Railjack Ruffians podcast. We're looking into starting a Patreon. If you have any ideas for any content or stuff that we could add to the Patreon, something that you might feel like is worth paying for, let us know. We're not going to start a Patreon until we have something that, you know, is actually worth money. Obviously, we want to steal all your money and take your cash and
give
all that.
Give us money.
Give it. But, you know, we want you to actually get something out of it. So we're not starting that until we actually have something that's, you know, worth paying.
And other people listen to us. Let's just start one without it. I mean,
I'm going to listen. I might subscribe to the Patreon. I won't pay for it, but, you know, I piracy. Gotta love it.
Pay me the money, and then I'll pay you the money.
Right. Yeah, it's like it's a pyramid scheme. You know, if you get two people to join the Patreon, I'll pay you a dollar.
Oh, I love that.
Yeah, yeah.
Give me a dollar for
totally illegal.
Yeah.
Well, that could be a Patreon feature. You know, Patreons get paid for getting other Patreon. There we go.
Exactly. It's multi-tiered marketing.
Yeah, yeah.
Whatever. That,
whatever the polite name for a pyramid scheme is.
Right. I've forgotten what the actual polite term.
Ponzi scheme.
No, I think that's something different. I can't remember what that is, though. I'm not up to date with all of my
tax fraud.
But, yeah, so that's the idea on that. I feel like I had something
You're gonna need to freshen up, go play Turnip Boy Commits Tax Evasion again.
Yes.
I prefer Yoshi Commits Tax Fraud, but, you know.
That's a thing?
Yes.
That's good to know. I'll be playing that at some point.
It's not a game, it's just a thing we all know.
Oh, dang.
I thought it was a game.
Yeah, I was very excited.
He was going to go do research.
Hey, game dev, why don't we make that a game?
Yeah, game dev, help us out. Work for Nintendo.
I don't want to work for Nintendo. I want to work for me.
Why?
Because
he'd have to move to Japan.
I just have so many ideas that I want to do. So many things that I want to accomplish, and I'm
make a dinosaur that's not Yoshi, and then you can do that.
Yeah. It is Dinosaur Month, after all.
Is it?
It is.
That's cool.
Yeah.
Well, anyway, I'm not going to make that, but...
Aw, shame.
Hey, anyway. Make some patrons, if y'all do that.
Yeah,
we'll play it.
If we get four patrons. Patrons. If we get four patriots, we will have... Mitchell and Stardust create Yoshi does tax fraud or whatever.
What?
And then we'll put that on the Patreon
I can make it in Godot.
Yeah. So we're planning on putting out a podcast every 2 weeks. So stay tuned for that. We'll be doing that.
You should tell me what all is going to be on.
Right. So the idea we have right now is we're going to have a rotation of topics. We're going to have lore episodes, Warframe reviews. We're going to go back and go over all the updates that have happened through the game. We're going to look at how Warframe started off. What?
I meant where you can listen to this.
Spotify!
YouTube.
Spoodaboo.
Yeah, so Spotify.
YouTube.
Yeah, eventually YouTube. It may take a little longer to get that up and running, but... Spotify, Apple Podcast, Amazon Music, Alert Phobos.
Alert Phobos, yes. That's the new Warframe favorite podcast app.
Yes. Yeah, so... Podbean,
maybe.
Yeah, so we're going to be looking into it. We haven't figured out everything exactly yet. But we're going to have a rotation of topics, like lore, Warframe reviews. We're going to be going back and reviewing the updates from the start of Warframe and see how the game has evolved over the years.
Also, even though it's technically different, what about the reaction videos you were planning with?
Yes, so that's probably going to be Patreon content.
Okay, that'll be Patreon content.
That's my thought.
So you're going to be Patreon content.
Ah, it's because I'm so beautiful.
Well, they won't see your face.
Yeah.
Oh.
Remember, we're in the podcast dimension where we don't have faces.
Yeah. Oh. We might, like, we can...
So how do you tell the difference between me and my evil twin?
Well, there's only, like, 1% difference between you, so it's not really difficult to... It's like the man in the wall.
Yeah. Good Jacob is the man in the wall.
or maybe
it's... not. It seems like the other way around. Cause maybe the walls.
You never know. No.
Oh, one thing. Can we also add fashion frame reactions as a topic?
That's kind of Warframe.
We can add that to.
That would
either be Patreon or YouTube.
Yeah, exclusive. but like we can add that in right next to the reactions.
Well, that's kind of like Warframe reviews.
A little different. This would be like fashion.
Yeah, but anyway.
We're reviewing the Warframe for, oh, is this good? Is this bad? Do we like its abilities? Fashion Frame's like, oh, it looks cool.
Or we can do both at the same time.
That's true.
Yep.
But with the Warframe, we can talk about its abilities. They don't have to see it.
I think they want to see it.
Yeah, but this is a podcast.
It podcasted.
We'll figure it out.
We'll figure it out, probably.
So we're just going to go around and pluck everybody's eyes out. Nobody's going to see. Podcast will be the only option.
Yep. That's it. That's all we got. But yeah, like I said, Cephalon Squared was the inspiration for this. So, Gregor Lucas, if you're listening, you cool. Good on ya, mate. They're Australian.
Thank you for giving us something extra to do. Crikey, some weeknights.
Yes. But yeah, there are definitely... I would definitely say there are some content creators that we're trying to be more like. Nova Umbral. I really like Nova Umbral. His stuff, it's always on point. He's so in-depth with everything. It's really enjoyable to hear his stuff. MH Blackie is good. If you're a newer player, I would highly recommend MH Blackie. He's very knowledgeable, and he's good at... Something I've noticed with a lot of Warframe creators is they try to make noob builds, but all of their stuff is not noob builds. But MH Blackie does a
it's just like job. Here's a noob build. So first you need this super rare weapon that requires mastery rank 14, now you need galvanized mods to make it actually worth anything.
Yeah. And you need a fully ranked arcane energize, which costs like 200 platinum and whatever.
Prime Warframe.
Yeah, Prime Warframes.
Need Ember Prime.
Who is vaulted right now?
Yeah. But
no,
yeah.
No, wait, I got one better. You need Excalibur Prime.
Excalibur won't work. A different Warframe won't work. That
the other Warframe. No, it's spoilers. It's spoilers.
Yeah, it's spoilers.
It's spoilers for him, and it's spoilers for newbies.
Yeah, but yeah, him, the Kingineer. I really like the Kingineer. If you're,
I feel like I've heard that name before.
Yeah, if you're a math nerd, Kingineer, great. Also, like if you're more an advanced player, definitely do Kingineer. But yeah, that's gonna be it for us. So we're going to close down our studio here in Oshkosh, Wisconsin, and open up on the next episode. Bye.
See ya.
Bye.
Don't die and don't do drugs.
Do Warframe instead.
What about school?
Don't do drugs. Do Warframe. What about school?
Do that.
Do school.
If you're in school.
Thank you for coming to my podcast.
Thank you for coming to my TEDcast.
TED Talk. Talk TED.
I think we're good.